somebody said a while back, and I gave him my feedback. They said, our youth group's growing. I said, let me tell you something. It's going to get a lot smaller before it gets bigger. Because what we teach here, it doesn't tickle everybody's ears all the time. Now, if I fed people and had recreation, guess what? There would be an empty seat in the church. But that's what the church has become, really. That's what it's become. That has become a house of recreation. Preachers don't want to say too much. They don't want to cross over and offend anybody. So I'll play a secular song to entertain you, to get you in the church. Maybe that way you won't get mad at me. And that's everywhere. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. That's all over the world. I'll put a bounce house in the midst of the church to entertain you. That's the norm now. That's the absolute norm. And it's a shame, because I believe Jesus weeps in heaven when he sees this, Alex. Because if I try to win you with a bounce house, I'm going to have to keep you with that bounce house. But if I win you over with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then I'll keep you with it. And my heart's broken. It's broken because, talking to Reuben earlier, I just listen to people. I've grown in my life. I just listen a lot. And being born again is a fruit, man. It's a lifestyle. And my heart bleeds, and I don't say much. Bleeds, and it cries. Because so many people are comfortable in their lifestyle. So many people are comfortable in their lifestyle, thinking that they're okay. I'd be scared for many people, Alex, if the trumpet were to blow tonight. I'd be scared for a lot of people. There'd be a lot of surprised people in America, in Immokalee. There'd be a lot of surprised people in this church if the trumpet were to blow today and Christ were to come to gather up his church. Because being born again, there's a fruit behind it. There is not a lifestyle of habitual sin. It does not exist. One of the hardest things that we can ever come to terms with, one of the hardest teachings that you could ever agree with, is what I'm going to teach you right here, right now. What was it, man, the day that I got born again 18, 19, 20 years ago? What was it? When I fell on my knees, Detta, and I said, God, I know if I died today, Lord, I know if I died today, I know I'd burn in hell forever. I bowed down my knee next to my bed, and I said, I can't take my life no more, God. I said, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. What was it that immediately after I gave my life to Jesus made me go knock on my wife's door? I didn't even love her anymore. I said, wake up. I said, I just gave my life to Jesus. She didn't love me either. She said, good, now get out. But a week later, she gave her life to Jesus. What was it though, Alex? What was it? I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know about praying in tongues. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing about worship or fasting. But what was it that when I woke up that morning that caused me to go to my car and throw away 40 perverted CDs? What was it without anybody teaching me to take all my pornography and just throw it away? What was it without anybody teaching me? Without any instruction from anybody, I knew I couldn't fornicate anymore. I knew I couldn't commit adultery anymore. I knew I couldn't cuss anymore. I knew I couldn't drink. I knew I couldn't do these things. But I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know it. I was just born again for about 5 hours. But something in me said, Homer, that stuff's not any good anymore. What was it? It was God in me. It's what we receive, every single one of us that's born again. You receive the DNA of God inside of you. And guys, one of the hardest things that you can ever come to terms with is to know that you've been set free from sin. That is so hard to believe. How do you know it's hard? Because there's always an excuse in life. Let me tell you something, friend. If there's more bad in your lifestyle than good, if you habitually sin after you think you're born again, I couldn't do your funeral and tell everybody that you're going to heaven. I couldn't do it. If there's more habitual sin in your life after you think you gave your life to Jesus, if you keep continually doing wrong, 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 then my friends, according to the scriptures, according to the Holy Scriptures, you are not born again. And if you died that moment without Christ in your heart, one of the hardest things to ever believe is that once that you're born again, that sin does not have power over you. And it does, listen to this real quick. Romans, he said, but God be thanked. Listen to this. I beg you, man. I beg you. I beg you to listen. Some of you might get mad at me tonight. Some of you might think that I'm talking specifically to you. Well, I'm not, but the Holy Spirit is. When I do wrong, my friends, I'm uncomfortable, Reuben. I have to go to the person that I sinned against. I have to get on my knees and go lay down on my couch and pray and read my Bible. I'm not comfortable doing things that are wrong. They bother me. If you could ever grasp what I'm about to teach you, you will never, ever be the same. The writer said, but God be thanked that you were slaves of sin. Listen to what the writer said. But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin. Is that past tense or is that present? What is that? What is it? But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin. The writer says, Alex, let's say Alex and Detta just gave their life to Jesus. The writer says to Detta and Alex, to Reggie, to Rosie, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. He said, you were a servant of sin, past tense. You were a slave to sin. I hear Mexicans all the time. All the time. They always blame white people for their failure. All the time. Well, the white man's this. This is a white man's world. The white man. You idiot. You idiot. I say that in a good way. I don't know if there's a good way to say idiot. But the white people get blamed for everything. Hey, man, you live in America. You're free, man. No one can hold you down. It's the same way in the spirit. He said, but God be thanked, Reggie. God be thanked, Detta. God be thanked, Alex. God be thanked, Miss Rosie. You were the slaves of sin. Well, Pastor Homer, if I was a slave, if I was, then that means I used to be. That's right. You used to be a slave to sin. Something happened. What happened, Homer? I said, but God be thanked that you used to be a slave to sin. Now, what's a slave? Now, I detest slavery. What happened? The South was for slavery. They thought that the what they called the Negro should have been a slave. They're idiots too. But a slave would do what his master asked him to do. He'd put him in chains, he'd get a whip and he'd hit him. Go there and the slave would have to go. Why? Because he was in bondage to his master. What his master said, the slave did. If the slave didn't do what his master said, the master, which was white back then, would take a whip and tag him right on the back. Why? Because he was the master and the Negro was the slave. Why are you saying that? To prove a point. But in the North, the Civil War, they said, no, the black man does not deserve to live in slavery. This is what we'll do. The country's going to split. The North said, we'll defend a black man for his freedom. The South said, no, we won't let you defend him. The black man is nothing but a slave. And we'll fight you to keep the black man as a slave. The North said, no, you won't. We'll kill you to free the black man as a slave. Guess what, guys? The Civil War is over. How long has that been? So anybody know Civil War? How long? Too long. But yet, like the Mexican-American, we still bring up slavery. Hey, man, you're free. The white man had you in bondage. But what about the other white man that came to save you from your bondage? It's the same thing when you're born again. Either you're born again, man, or you're not. He said, but God be thanked that you were the servant of sin. You used to be. You used to be the servant of sin. You were bound up, debtor. Before you were born again, before I was born again, when I saw a beautiful lady, all I wanted was what she had. Why? Because I was a slave to sin. I found it comical to put beer in my older daughter's bottle and have her drink it, thinking it was formula. She had to walk around hitting her head all over the place because I thought it was comical. But it didn't bother me, Dada, because I was a slave to what? Sin. In other words, it didn't bother me, Dada. It didn't bother me. When I looked at pornography, it didn't faze me because I had a sin nature living inside of me. I had a sinful man living inside of me. It didn't faze me. The writer said, but God be thanked, Dada, that you were a slave to sin. Thank you, Paul, for your encouraging words. I was a slave to sin, Paul. You said, Paul, that I was. Well, then, Paul, what was it that I did that set me free from sin's power? Well, what saved the black man from chains was the North had more accurate guns. They shot the South. The South had to surrender. The African American, rightly so, was set free from slavery. Blood was shed so that the African American would be set free from slavery. No longer would a man have power over an African American. No longer could a white man take a whip and strike the black man in the back for not doing what he said he could do. I was a slave to sin. Getting drunk didn't bother me. Snorting an A-ball of cocaine, it did not bother me. Riding down the streets in Miami and Liberty City looking for prostitutes at 3 o'clock in the morning, that didn't bother me. Leaving it Friday and coming back Sunday all drunk, coming home beer breath drunk and almost raping my wife, that didn't bother me. Because I was a slave to sin. But Paul writes that, he said, but God be thanked. Well, Detta Talbert, you used to be a slave to sin, Detta. I know I used to do wrong, Jesus, and it didn't bother me. What happened, Jesus? He said, Detta, you used to be a slave to sin. Then he goes on and gives us the answer of what freed me and you from sin. He said, but God be thanked that you were slaves of sin. Listen to this, Detta. Yet you obeyed from the heart, that form of teaching to which you were delivered. What caused me to get up that morning crying, that a crying? I had never experienced so much happiness in my life. If I died then, I would have gone to hell. But I was so excited. I said, Lord, come into my heart, Jesus. I know if I die tonight, Father, I'll burn in hell. I said, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. Immediately I woke up, knocked on my wife's door and said, honey, I gave my life to Jesus. An instant love for my high school sweetheart developed instantly as God came and lived inside my heart. And I cried for 3 days. I never knew what happiness was. I cried for 3 straight days. Because I was so happy. I threw away all my perverted CDs. the things I used to do, I couldn't do anymore. Why? Because I was a slave to sin. But something happened that gave me a different conscience, that gave me a different mindset. God let me know that I couldn't live the way that I used to. I was set free from sin. If you're sitting here today and you think that you are born again, like my brother Reuben said, the scripture will judge you today. Young lady, young man, old lady, old man, if you're tipping that bottle, if you're always on your back habitually, guess what, my friend? You are not born again. Preachers don't say that no more because they don't know that. You are not born again, and you're still a slave to sin. Because you do it and it doesn't bother you, that means you're still a slave. And if a slave, then you're in bondage. And if you're in bondage, your final resting place is apart from Jesus Christ. But he said, but God be thanked that you were a slave to sin, but you obeyed from your heart a teaching that was delivered to you. What teaching was delivered to me that set me free from sin's power? The teaching that was delivered to me was 1 John, that Jesus was the Son of God. I said, Jesus, and really and truly, I really don't care who gets mad at me tonight. I'd rather you get mad at me for telling you the truth than me compromising with you. I'd rather you get mad at me and hate me and go tell somebody else what I said than to sit here and tickle your fancy just to keep you in church. I could care less if you get mad at me. I could care less. Because if I tell you in love, you'll come back one day and say, guess what, Pastor Homer, the Holy Ghost was right speaking through you. When I asked Jesus to come into my heart, Dada, and I just say Dada, I don't know because he's right there on the front row. I used to say Miriam, but she's in Tampa now. I said, but God be thanked, Homer, that you were the slave to sin, past tense. Something came, Homer, and set you free. There was a teaching delivered to you, and that teaching was that Jesus was the Son of God. If I received that teaching, I received something that went with that teaching. He said, but God be thanked that you were a slave to sin. But this is our remedy. This is our healer. This is the power of the scripture. But you obey from the heart. From the heart. You obey from the heart a teaching that was delivered to you. He said, being then made. Listen to this. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. He said, but God be thanked that you were a slave to sin. But somebody came and presented to you a man named Jesus Christ. When you obeyed the teaching that Jesus was the Son of God, when you confessed Jesus is God, something supernaturally happened inside of you. You were impregnated with the Word of God. We have some young mothers here that were impregnated. A seed, 1 John calls it a sperma. Was it? My wife has 5 kids, 6 kids. She was impregnated by me. You were impregnated by the Holy Spirit. When you said, Jesus, you are the Son of God, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. Immediately, the power of God, the DNA of God came to live inside of your spirit, and immediately you were set free from sin's power. Notice what it said. But God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin. Listen to this. You obeyed from the heart a teaching that was delivered to you. Listen to this. And having been set free from sin. Listen to this now. All in the same subject. He didn't change the subject. He didn't change the text. Listen to this. Listen to this. He said, but God be thanked, Dada. God be thanked, Renee, that you were the slaves of sin, comma. But when the teaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God came to you, you received that teaching. And immediately you were freed from sin's power. Because it says it in the very next verse. Notice what he said now. Did he say you had to read 1 John 50 times to be free from sin? Is that what he said in context? Did he say you had to do a 40-day fast to be set free from sin? Did he say you had to pray 5 hours a day to be set free from sin's power? He said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, comma. You obeyed from your heart a teaching that Jesus Christ was Lord. And immediately you were set free from sin's power. Immediately you were set free. Immediately you were set free. It wasn't contingent on how many times you read Romans. It wasn't contingent on how many times you read 1 John. He said, if you sincerely, sincerely from your heart, listen to me. If you sincerely from your heart believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, immediately, instantaneously, you were set free from sin's power. That means that old lifestyle of sin was no longer part of you. It can't be. It's impossible because you've been born again. Are you confident right now the way you're going in life? Are you confident in your lifestyle? Really, if you died today, would you be confident enough to know that you had a place in heaven? Do you have that godly confidence knowing that this man named Jesus Christ lives inside of you? Do you have that confidence? Being a Christian is a lifestyle. It's not an occasion. But God be thanked that you were a slave to sin, but you obeyed from the heart a teaching that was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became a slave of righteousness. Meaning, there was a sin nature that lived inside of me. And it crunk out what? Sin. That sin nature, when I said yes to Jesus, was put to death. There was a new nature put inside of me. If the old nature that I was born with pumped out sin and instructed me on sin, then what did the new nature pump out inside of me? What? Righteousness. Right living. And if the new nature pumped out righteousness inside of me, if it pumped it out of my spirit, then it would pump that out of me for me to obey it. Are you born again, friends? Does Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, live inside of your spirit? He didn't even say I had to pray in tongues to be free, Alex. That's the biggest misconception. I'm going to pray in tongues enough till I'm free. No, you dummy. And I pray in tongues. I pray in tongues about 3 or 4 hours today. Reinforcing, though, my freedom. You don't have to read the Bible ever again to know that you're set free from sin. You don't. Either you're set free from sin or you're not. You know why there's a lot of movement in here tonight? Because people are uncomfortable. They're real uncomfortable hearing this. And really, they're giving themselves away a little bit. And it's sad because their hearts are so hardened to the truth that the truth doesn't even matter to them right now. I'm not going to preach to you words that make you feel good about me. I don't rejoice when we have 100 kids here. That doesn't make me rejoice. What makes me rejoice is when a young man like Alex leaves college and won't do this and that because he wants to stay here and fall in love with Jesus Christ. That is my reward. That's my payment. When he's not sidetracked with society, that's my payment. This is the thing. We see no, our lifestyles are a certain way, but we just keep going on day by day, doing the same thing. And we think that destruction will never come. Proverbs 1 talks about a man. The biggest misconception in the world, or the biggest lie, or the Christian cliche in the world, is when a Christian lifts up their hands and say, I love you, God. That is not a demonstration of love. Obeying God is love. Loving God is obeying God. You find me a Christian that's in an accident. Now, accidents are going to happen, but we don't have to die premature, man. You find me a Christian that Satan wants to kill. You find me a Christian that lives a holy, holy, holy life that's involved in a car accident, that Christian will call upon the name of the Lord, and every single time God will come and answer the petition of that prayer. He'll lift the car off of him as he's pinned underneath him. Why? Because he called on the name of the Lord in righteousness. But you find me a Christian that's double-minded, a man that wants to touch every girl that he sees, or vice versa, one that drinks, cusses, sells drugs. That Christian's going to call upon the name of the Lord one day when they have an Eve. But guess what? He is not going to come, because he blesses a lifestyle of righteousness. You mean I'm going to live like hell for 4 years, get in a car accident, according to Proverbs 1, and I'm pinned underneath the car, and all of a sudden, God, here I am, save me, God. He says, oh, God, you got my hands tied, Homer. I want to send an angel immediately to save you, but my hands are tied. You really don't believe that I exist, Homer. You really don't, because if you believe that I exist, if you believe that I was real, you live according to my word. But, Homer, you're going to eat the fruit of your own way. You created this mess. I can't come. I can't come and exalt you. I can't come and save you because you got my hand tied, son. So then God doesn't come and everybody hates God all of a sudden. My friends, you've been born again. You have been born again. You have been set free from sin's power. If me and you learn to live holy, 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 holy lives, God can come almost at our beck and call. But God blesses a lifestyle of righteousness. He doesn't bless unrighteousness. Meaning he blesses a believer that lives a holy, holy life. Or a believer that's trying their very best to. God doesn't bless inconsistency. He doesn't bless a double-minded person. My friends, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. Sanctified. You have been born again. We're called to walk holy and clean. We're called to walk holy and clean. Why? Because we've been set free from sin's power. You've been set free. Now, I'm not saying every single bad thing that's happened is a product of sin. That's not what I'm saying. It's far from what I'm saying. But I'm telling me and you, if we know our authority in God, he'll come and flex his muscle in our life, Alex. He'll come and flex it. God is not a mysterious God. He doesn't work in mysterious ways. That's an idiotic teaching. Proverbs says, if you disannul the wisdom of God that's inside of you, he said, you eat the fruit of your own. In other words, you planted that mess. And that mess that you planted grew up. And it overwhelmed you. Then you call on me. Homer, you hated my instruction. You mocked my word. You wouldn't even hear it. You wouldn't take the time out to read it. You wouldn't take the time out to embrace it. You lived like hell for 4 years, man. Now you're calling upon me? My hands are tied, son. They're tied. You're eating the fruit. You planted that destruction, boy. You planted it. As much as I want to save you, Homer, you're crying out to me. Remember, I told you Remember daily I showed you how to live from within your heart, Homer. You knew not to be a whoremonger. You knew not to be an alcoholic or a drug addict. You knew that. But for 4 years, you kicked my assignment, you kicked my wisdom to the curb. And now Satan's got a hold of you. And now you're eating. Now, not that God rejoices in that. I want to rescue you, but I can't, son. Because you got no regard for my wisdom. But God be thanked that I used to be the servant of sin. But I believed in my heart that this one man, Jesus Christ, was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And along with that confession from my mouth and believe in my heart came the power of God that lived inside of me. The old man was put to death and I received a new man. I was born again. I was set free from sin's power immediately. I was born again. The day of excuses ceased. What excuse? Every excuse from A to Z. Well, you don't understand. At the age of 2, the age of 3, lost my family. And my mom and dad were married for 20 years and divorced. Well, my little sister was raped right in front of me. My wife left me. My husband left me. Lord, I was traumatized. I lost my job, Lord. I lost my mortgage. I lost my automobiles. I didn't even have no money to feed my children. He says, no. You were a changed man when you gave your life to Jesus. The power of God lived inside of you. You fell, you sinned, because you wanted to. I gave you all the power, son, to overcome any single circumstance. Now, if you know this answer, because I told you this answer, I don't want you to repeat it. Now, Pastor Bronx stole this from me a while back. He took the credit for it. Now I'm going to defame him. It was my revelation, Barbara. It was mine. And I told him, he made it popular in church. Listen to this real quick and we're done. I promise. Listen to this. Now, Romans is a masterpiece telling me and you that we've been set free from sin, right? Listen to this real quick. Listen, and we're done. I'll pray for a couple of you. Listen to this. Pastor Bronk, hope you don't hear this tape, but you know you stole it from me, punk. Anyway, listen to this. Romans 8 and 35. Listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says, shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Famine. Bear with me, I'm almost done. Nakedness. Pearl or sword. This is what he's saying. He said, who's going to separate you, daddy, from the love of God? And he lists 5 or 6 things. He said, tribulation. In other words, a hard time is going to separate you from the love of God. So what about distress? Distress, is that going to separate you from the love of God? So what about persecution? For your faith. What about that if somebody wants to kill you because you confess publicly that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Is that going to separate you from His love? What about famine? What about going without? What about being hungry and thirsty? Is that going to separate you from the love of God, Renee? Listen to this. What about naked? What about if you have nothing? You're bare nakedness. You have nothing. You don't have nowhere to live. You have nothing. Is that going to separate you from the love of God? What about pearl? What about dangerous times? What about the sword? Is the sword going to separate you from the love of God? Notice what he listed. Notice what he listed. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Pearl or sword? He lists 7 things. He said, are these 7 going to separate you from the love of God? Are you kidding me? He says. He said, even in all 7 of these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He said, even if they stab you, Detta, Even if they rape you, or it's in a perilous time, or it's in tribulation, even if they take your baby and they want to kill him, that doesn't have the power to separate you from the love of God. Even in all these things, you're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. What didn't he list in Romans 8? What didn't he list? Notice what he said. He said, shall tribulation, distress, peril, nakedness, sword, death, shall that separate you from the love of God? He said, no, in all these things, Courtney, you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us. What he didn't mention was sin. You know why he didn't mention sin? Because sin, the day we get born again, power has ceased over me and you. He didn't even list it dead or why, because sin is defeated the moment you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. So square your shoulders and get tough, man. Quit being a sissy. He says, your tribulation, sword, pearl. No, no. If we sin now that we're born again, it's because we chose to. It's because we chose to. He didn't list sin, Alex, because sin's power has been dominated through the rebirth. I never, ever have to drink again. I never, ever have to fornicate or commit adultery again. I never have to steal again. Why? Because those things don't have power over me. If I do it when I'm born again, it's because I chose to. No devil in hell, no circumstance, no trial, no tribulation, no sword, famine, nakedness, pearl, nothing has the power. Nothing has the power to separate me from the love of Christ. He said, I'm more. Actually, the Greek says you're super. You're super victorious over these things is what the Greek says. He didn't just say you were victorious. He said, Homer, you're super victorious in tribulation, in nakedness, in pearl, in sword. You're super victorious, son, because of him who lives in you. He didn't even list sin because sin's the first thing that's dominated and overcome when we're born again. So if you happen to fail tonight, don't be a wimp and say, God, I did it. No, no, you look up to heaven, you square your little shoulders. You say, Jesus, don't even blame the devil. Say, Jesus, I did it. I did it, Lord, because I chose to. If you blame the devil, if you blame that man, you blame that woman, that's an excuse. Excuses don't hold up in the court of Jesus Christ. They don't hold up. He said, Lord, I did it because me, a born again believer, sanctified by your blood, I did it, Jesus, because I chose to do it. No devil in hell had the power to make me sin. That person didn't have the power to make me sin. I did it, Lord, because I chose to not abide in your love. Sorry, Captain. And the more you confess that before his throne, the stronger and stronger you'll get and less you'll fall. I have a temper. My biggest problem is lack of patience. And I'm quick to fire at the mouth. But I tell my wife and I tell my kids. I might blame them for 5 minutes, but I'll come back 5 minutes later then and say, ah, it's my fault. It's my fault. Nobody has the power to make you sin. Nobody does. Why? Because I say so? No. Because the book of Romans says so. We have been born again, friends. We have been born again. Born again means just that, to be born again. Evelyn has a beautiful baby in her hand. She was born once. She came out of her mother's womb. That's the first birth. The second birth is that when she receives Jesus Christ, the little baby, when she reaches the age of accountability, she says, Mommy, I want to accept Jesus as Lord. That's the second birth. And the second birth is when Jesus comes and lives inside of her. And that very moment, sense power is broken in her life. Friends, I'm done. Although this is a positional truth, you got to believe it. And what makes me believe God's word more than anything? Reading it over and over again and praying extended hours in tongues. Reinforcing the truth that has been proclaimed. I urge you now more than ever. It's only 8:10. Pray in tongues as much as you can. It's the only prayer that guarantees you edification, exhortation, and comfort. It will change you forever, but you got to pray. You got to pray. Underneath your breath, pray throughout the day, in the toilet, going here, going there. Pray in tongues. You will never, ever be the same. I asked a lady the other day, I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 70. Honest to God, I thought she overshot it by about 20 years. And it wasn't your mom, Alex. It wasn't her. It wasn't your mom. I've seen your mom before. She's every bit 80. This lady said, I'm 70. Get the heck out of here, you know. But honestly, I said, quit lying. Well, I'm fixing to be 70. Honestly, I said, I didn't believe her. I mean, she's a beautiful woman. She said, I'm 70. God Almighty, you look so young, happy. So, Homer, I pray in tongues all the time. It will change you forever if you incorporate that supernatural gift. It will change you forever. I'm going on with Jesus, with or without you. I'm going to spend my hours every day with Jesus. I'm not called to make $1 million. I'm not called to do this. I'm called to die to myself, to walk in love and anointing and bring my God glory. I'm tired of working, but I got to work to feed my kids. Some people hold being debt-free as a god. Some people hold a college education as a god. People hold their job as a god, but all I want is God. I don't care about money. I always wanted a big house, fancy cars. That don't interest me. I'm called to love my God and raise my kids first and foremost in the ways of God. I'm called to Him first and to my family second. I'm called to see that all my kids that I pray for daily make it to heaven. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't live with myself if one of my kids died without Jesus in their heart. I'd kill myself. Because that means I failed as a dad. I failed as a dad if one of my children died without Jesus in their life. I would not want to live. You know why? Because I know where my child would be. I'm called to disciple my household and then called to disciple the world. If I can disciple my children, I'm not a very smart individual. But God be thanked, Dad, that me and you were the slaves of sin. We obeyed from a heart of teaching that was delivered to me and you, being then made set free from sin, we became slaves of righteousness. We have been born again. The Spirit of God lives in me and you. Read Romans 6, 7, and 8. Pray in tongues countless hours a week. You'll see that the thing you struggle with will be easy to overcome. You see your ambitions, your appetites will change if you incorporate what I ask you to do. But you got to do it, or not you'll be in the same place that you are today. My friends, you've been born again. Now, I was going to pray for some of you, but I don't feel him on me anymore. I think he got over what he needed to get over. He's already lifted off of me. I can feel him already. But I'll say this. I'll say this. Get with Alex. Because next week we have a only for serious people. Next Saturday for 1 hour. What time? Next Saturday from 5 to about 5:45 or 6 o'clock. Just a serious time for the older teenagers. Just a solid 45 minutes of teaching. That's all we're going to do. I'm so blessed to have him because I have an administrator now. Somebody that I can tell what to do and he'll do it. And I mean, not in a bossy way. That's not what I mean. He's got the nice website for the church. You know, he's got live dictionary. And he wants to see people discipled. So there'll be no church next Sunday. We're going to have an all-day or family day here next Sunday morning. I want all of you guys to come. We're going to fellowship all day. But get with Alex about this class. And we're not going to pick anybody up. Because if you're hungry for God, you got no problem getting in the football game with them. I'll walk if I got to. If you want to come, get a hold of Alex. Get with him. Get with him for next Saturday. He'll give you the specifics. Get with him. It's our time, man. I believe there's 4 or 5 of you here that are going to get with him because you're hungry. Get with him. I don't expect many. But get with him. He is my voice. He is my mouthpiece. We think alike. We have the same mind. Why? Because we both pray in tongues of love. So friends, God be thanked that you used to be a slave to sin. But if you accepted Jesus in your heart, you've been free and broken from sin's power. Amen. We've been born again. Amen.